Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone, it's even on Monday. Let's have a day. Welcome to Steel and Naz, episode 76, brought to you by HedgeBetter from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Tonight, no guest night, as the Celtics now have a 2-0 lead on the Nets. We got a full recap, you know, impressive performances by all the guys around, and kind of our, you know, predictions for the rest of the series. And we kind of had some, what else we had? Some Bruins talk.
Little Bruins talk.
Yeah. Mike Tyson getting a big fight. Defensive player of the year back on the Celtics, and Marcus Smart kind of gave him a nice, you know, congratulations for that.
Nashville talk.
Great time to bleed green. Great time.
Great time. Also, before we, you know, get underway with the Celtics, I just want to give a big shout out to all the Boston Marathon runners who ran this past Monday. James Naz, my guy, he's on to the next one right now. Who else we had? We had Mike Nelson, Annie Dow, Brian Donahue. Anyone?
Joey Lawler.
Walter Hannon. The Quincy people. Getting it done.
The team.
Everybody. The team. Everybody.
Yeah, congrats, a lot of stuff goes into it. I was in it. Congrats. All day. All right, let's get nasty though. Celtics, baby. Okay, so right out of the chute, we got to talk about, you know, the big time team here in Boston. Just start the playoffs here, the Boston Celtics. Now up 2 games to love on the number 7 seed, not really a 7 seed, Brooklyn Nets. And I got to say, right then and there, I haven't been more impressed with the Boston Celtics in years.
Yeah, you could easily say Game 2 victory was like the most impressive win in like a decade for the Celtics.
Being down 17 points, you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who just coming off a 39-point performance from Game 1. And you know what? Everything was clicking on their side. Bruce Brown had the first 12 points. Seth Curry was looking like Steph Curry.
Oh, my God.
And as much as I was giving...
Dragic, whatever the fuck his name is.
Goran Dragic, yeah, he was killing him too. He finished with 18 points on the night.
Forgot that guy existed.
And even Andre Drummond, you know, he had a couple nice looks there in the first half, looking like a beast around the that dunk, that quick dunk kind of push-up.
Yeah, little quick
It was
thing.
A push-up dunk. But my takeaways from it is... Yeah, he had 20 free throw attempts at the line, but I've never seen any team defend the way the Celtics have the first 2 games, more importantly last night in Kevin Durant. And I get he finished with 27 points, but that was a win itself. 18 of his 27 points came from the line, and you really have to respect this defense. And, you know, both teams' superstars were not clicking early on in the contest, but as it came out, you started to see who was there and who wasn't. And I get, yeah, Tatum from the line, 5 for 16 from the field, and Jaylen Brown ended up being 9 for 18 from the field. But Jaylen Brown probably had one of his worst halves of the season, first half. I think I deleted tweets every other day.
Admit it.
I said put Jaylen Brown on the bench. I deleted
Disgusting tweet.
I deleted it, but I'm okay with it.
You look embarrassed.
I'll give you honorable man to say it on air.
It's okay.
That's a fucking awful tweet.
If you could say it on air, just leave the tweet.
True. Grow up.
Live with your take.
Even as bad as it is.
Yeah, awful.
And then what really sparked the Celtics in the fourth quarter, Tatum had a big three there with less than a minute and a half remaining to put him up 8. Marcus Smart had a big, looking at his hand.
Oh, he gave the Booker T fucking like just staring at his hand.
The lefty was kind of a banker layup off of there. But how about Peyton Pritchard coming in? Well, Derek White, who played great for the Celtics all year, has looked like dog shit in this postseason.
Not look good.
He came off Ime Udoka, who I have a lot to talk about, a little bit about him. But Peyton Pritchard came in, scores, I think, first 8 points of their kind of comeback trail, including a big-time three to give them the lead for the first time of the night. That's the thing also that you kind of have to look at. is the Celtics didn't have a lead till probably the beginning of the fourth quarter in the entire game.
I think Peyton Pritchard's two gave them their first lead of the game.
I thought it was a three, but it was like on the line.
Yeah, on the line.
One of my threes.
Yeah, literally, a Naz three. And it was, and it was incredible because, I mean, that first half to play a team like that, and I mean, that was an abysmal half by the Celtics.
Yeah.
And they were down 10.
Yeah.
You can work with 10. 10's fine.
Yeah.
And then they just bounce back. I mean, the heart of that team's fucking incredible.
Yeah, they should have been down 20. It was the tail.
Oh, yeah.
I know we always talk about like the tail of two halves, and I do that all the time as well. But the first half, Celtics literally looked like the 23 and 24 Celtics from earlier in the season. And the second half was what the Celtics are right now. And that's just championship basketball. If they play like the basketball the way they did in that second half, they can beat any team in this NBA Absolutely. Playoffs. I think no question.
I mean, I think it's just the fourth quarter, but the shot chart of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in the fourth quarter.
1 for 17.
Yeah. Just axes. And just axes.
The only one that was Beautiful. A circle was like within like 5 feet of the
you
hoop.
You take them out of the game and you have big momentum going, all your guys firing.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you can win. It's like, as long as the game's within reach, which it always kind of was.
And what was awesome is like Kyrie. What like he was an absolute no show. Like Kevin Durant was that bad because the Celtics probably in that game might have played the best defense against Kevin Durant in his entire career. That might have been the best any team has ever shut. Like every time he moved an inch, there was just like another fucking guy there to be like, you're not getting that.
They were like replaying it too of just him getting it looked like it was a football game. They were just banging him up.
I saw a tweet that was like,
what you gotta do to the best guy?
Yeah.
I saw a tweet that was like, this was what they were doing to like prime Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Like off the line. Like it was like, dude, it was like just throw three people at him so he just can't fucking get it, make someone else do it.
And you know
and
what?
I that's kind of true.
Another big like a big beef I had with last night was the refs. I thought the refs did a terrible job. I think that physicality in postseason play should be allowed. It was on both sides. Every time like someone did a little nudge or something like that, they were calling the whistle. Like that third quarter, I think both teams were in the penalty with like 6.5 minutes left. Like that's ridiculous.
The NBA playoffs, we're gonna hate these refs.
And it's a feisty series as is.
But it's not a feisty.
I agree. You got to let it go.
Yeah, it's not a
or be like that.
Trust me, I'd let it play.
But to your point, it's not a feisty series where these guys want to beat each other up. They want to win. I don't see any beef on both sides where they want to fight each other. I don't see that at all. Yeah, I see you got teed up with that big man there. I forget his name. He's irrelevant to me.
Yeah, who cares?
Claxton. There we go. Good find, Magic. But for me,
I didn't see that on Twitter.
So let's bury Kyrie Irving right now. So in game one, we haven't recorded since.
I'd rather you not. Don't bury him.
Monday. This
will be a take you'll be regret.
There's a lot of series left, and I'll get to that point of how this series is actually going to end up. But Kyrie Irving coming in game one was an absolute stud, and I said it to you in the car a couple of days ago. I credit him a lot for going right back after the fans. Of course, if he had a bad game and he went after the fans, he would look like a bitch. But the fact that he dropped 39, yeah, I get it. We got the buzzer beater. The Celtics won game one. But Kyrie Irving, I thought that was possibly a win for him, at least, flipping off the fans, telling them to come back.
He probably is feeling good.
I like that.
I have no problem with that. If I was him, I'd flip off. I'd absolutely. That's pretty. Yeah. You're going to find me $50,000.
50 grand. Sick. He's got that in his jock.
I would add, I 100% support. Like,
let's be nice.
Yeah.
Let's be nice to the football fans.
You can't run our test them, but like talk shit. I'm fine with anyone talking shit, flipping people off.
I like
the fans. I love that.
The whining, but one thing the I love fucking is the way, middle is the way, fingers.
The way things work in Boston and like Celtics fans, like when he did the like double like finger like behind the head, like the crowd goes nuts.
Yeah.
Like the crowd is like, yeah, like good for you.
I
dude.
Know, but
like,
then when
sick.
when you're hot, like he was hot that game one, and you're burying it. It's like whatever. I don't. At the end of the day, you're a fan just calling him pussy like for 48 minutes, and he's like, all right, suck my dick.
In Nashville, I was calling Jordan Binnington a suck bag for 40 fucking minutes. So
he won me a quick hondo. That was a good win, 8-2.
I respect Kyrie for his response and for playing that good and for sucking game two so we could win.
But I heard from, I love Kendrick Perkins on ESPN. I think he does a great job, but he's telling Celtics fans to shut up, to shut their mouths. And first of all, that's never going to happen. And second of all, you think that's really fueling his fire as, he's
He's probably the best, if not him and Steph Curry, the top two point guards in all of basketball. Throw Chris Paul in there, he's had a hell of a year. So that's not going to slow him down of being who he is. What I am last night is that's a complete no-show. Four for 13 from the field, nothing. 10 points. That reminded me of the series when he played for the Celtics in Milwaukee, and he just flat out gave up on the team. And I don't think he gave up or anything. I credit a lot
fasting the Celtics
defense. I thought it was... You know what? I will come out and say this. I thought it was definitely a factor because as soon as he came off the court and then he came back on, he was not the same player. At least aggressiveness. He slowed it down.
What do you think he goes? So what's he going to do real quick? Eat a quick meal?
He had a banana in his hand.
Hakeem Olajuwon did the same thing and won two championships doing that. So
No, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. It's not part of his religion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it doesn't, like, you can do that and still win.
It's honestly impressive he can do it.
But to your point, I will say that as soon as he came off and back on, he was not the same player as he was when he, in the first quarter there.
Yeah.
I'll say that. But going forward, you know, up 2-0, Celtics lead. They're heading to Brooklyn playing Saturday night. We're going on a Thursday night tonight. You're going to have to watch out the two best players in the NBA. I rank, Kevin Durant, between him and Giannis, are, top players in the NBA. You heard what I just said about Kyrie Irving and his, greatness. So how are these two players going to respond? Because I feel like their role players played exceptionally well in game two. But if you have your role players playing, being the catalyst in a game, that's gold. That's house money for the Celtics. I mean, you saw them come back. That's why they came back, because eventually, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum got together. Yeah. But then also, I don't mean to cut you off, but the Celtics role players also went off as well, and Grant Williams.
Grant had a day. Oh. Tice was the first half. Tice's first half was incredible. He was all over the place. Couple early fouls. But
Tice was the second highest scorer. Did I see that?
Tice had 15. He was in there. They had seven players in double digits.
And I mean, going back to game one, I mean, we got 20 and 15 from Al Horford.
Yeah, that's insane.
You kidding me?
I love Al. Al's I'm glad we brought him back.
Household name. He's
huge,
a
huge factor. And if we go deep in this playoffs, it's going to be him.
Especially because Rob Williams is out. So, I get Tice takes
this is a good Williams veteran minutes. To have.
Oh, absolutely.
Wasn't there a good update on Rob Williams today?
Yeah, so he's playing three on threes now. I'm thinking he'll be back by when we come back to Boston. I think his first game will be game five.
If needed.
Yep. So
it will get to the... I feel probably like you were pretty much getting at that you think Durant, you didn't say it, but is Durant going off in game three and like redeeming himself?
I was thinking
to just keep blocking him down.
I was thinking he was going to go off in game two and it didn't happen. So I'm still going to I guess I'm doing that Max Kellerman thing where I'm like, okay, he's going to go off this game. I'm just going to keep waiting like the cliff thing.
And one time it will work.
Yeah, and one time it will work. Like I hope he doesn't go off at all as a Celtics fan. But, it is the greatness of him, them going back at home. It would not surprise me at all. I don't know why Celtics fan. It's great to go up 2-0, don't get me wrong. But if they win both games at home, that's not going
to
surprise me.
I think it's all up to Kyrie because Kevin Durant, they started calling those fouls for the physicality on what they were doing to Kevin Durant, and the Celtics just didn't give a shit. Like, they just kept playing that physical. They were like, we're going to continue to, just hit this dude until it, beat us at the free throw line. Like, they were like, dude, you're not going to go off. You're not going to get hot. You're not going to get threes. Like, we're going to hit you.
That's what you have to do.
And you're just
going to
get two. You're just going to get two, and it doesn't matter.
You want to get beat by the reserves. If you lose to them, it is what it is.
Like, they didn't.
And Kyrie's
got to
go off, too.
They got in foul trouble, the bonus, not like individual foul trouble, but they got in the bonus. They were like, dude, we're still going to hit Kevin Durant. We're still going to do it. It doesn't matter.
Now, do you guys like this take? So, I mean, even just to get the 7th seed, the last, 10, 15 games, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both had to play 40-plus minutes for this team even to just get there. So do you think, their fatigue is really coming into play? Do you think that's, a good take?
One's literally not eating, so, that's probably affecting him.
Yeah.
Fair.
But his religion's on his. I don't even know what God.
No, yeah.
Whatever.
I'm not Ramadan,
it whatever it is.
But yeah, you got that. I mean,
he's used to that, I'm sure.
Kevin Durant's a little tough with that just because, that's not, that's a player that's been playing
40 plus his entire life.
That's just one of the great players. You know what I mean? That guy's been doing it forever.
Maybe they underestimated the Celtics a little. I think we did.
That could definitely
I think
be
you did for sure. I mean, Steele's looking like a genius right now, saying, "Feed me the Nets," and like, look what's happening.
Please knock on some wood for me. Please knock on some wood.
You know
for
what?
Me.
I don't know. This isn't wood, but
it's good to see. And
giant fucking.
And to the point of to the point of underestimating them. And me and Steele talked about before the show. How about Kyrie Irving's interview last night about, you know, praising the Celtics? Oh, they, this is right place, right time. He was going off about Brad Stevens. Like,
he's very confusing.
Nah, like, fuck him.
If that guy wins 10 championships, I still count him as one of the biggest losers.
That's reverse psychology city, him saying that.
He was doing that. That's why I'm like,
he's an enigma, kind
of. Yeah. He's the worst. He's just the worst type of human.
I kind of fuck with him.
That you would.
I liked the double middle birds and his aunt.
That's the only thing I like.
Yeah, no.
That was the only thing I liked.
And someone was yelling, "You're a pussy, Kyrie," like when he was walking like after the game, and he was like, "Suck my dick" or something.
Yeah,
like,
he
says that every time.
He's very aggressive.
He did that with us as well against like someone.
Yeah, he's just a bona fide scumbag.
So you still thinking Nets in six here?
So
there's no way you can.
So on the completion of the series, I guess that's where the point of the talk we are right now. Brooklyn in six, throwing that out the window.
You have to.
I'm not going to make a pick here, just being honest here. Brooklyn in seven, definitely a possibility. But I'll tell you right now, do not let the Celtics win a game on the road. Because if they win a game on the road here, if they go up 3-1 coming home, they will win in five games. So I guess I didn't make a kind of a pick. If they win,
Fans are being a factor here.
Rocking.
I think the Garden has more potential than any stadium to get rocking. Would you agree with that take?
That and like when Golden State gets going, that would be it.
I was talking out of like Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Like better than Fenway and better than Gillette is what definitely. I meant.
When the garden's buzzing.
The Bruins and Celtics, I think, have a legit advantage.
That's why I think Showtime was trying to, you know, spawn the boys to go to a balcony game two. I said, pump the brakes. Let's wait till five. And if the Celtics take a game on the road, they're going to have a chance to close it out at home.
I'd do five, yeah.
I would do five. Tarps off.
Game five. Clincher.
People on.
That sounds like a lovely time.
See magic from the balcony. Just stage dive.
Yeah.
We'll catch you.
And good news. That guy on the Bucks is hurt. Yeah. Middleton.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. So they lost to Chicago. So it's 1-1.
Just looking ahead at the chess game.
Yeah.
It was an MCL, I believe. Like sprained. So he's not like toast.
But still,
he's out for a bit, yeah.
Good. Well, I mean, they still got to make it past the Bulls. Who knows? The Bulls looked good last night.
Yeah,
DeRozan, good God.
I think the Celtics still got to just keep fighting against the series. Yeah. The series, I haven't thought of anything else.
Sorry.
The keys for the Celtics, I think, for me is for at least one of the two to show up every game. If Tatum or Brown show up when it counts, that will happen. And you know what? Who picked up big slack last night? And I said his name, but Peyton Pritchard was key down the stretch. You need those guys, you know, to hit shots, to make shots when those guys aren't doing anything.
You need the full team.
Grant Williams was
full
great.
Team effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a tweet. It was like Peyton Pritchard just like up like six, like in the end of the game, hit like a high off the glass over Kevin Durant. He was like, "I'm turning this off." I've seen enough.
It's great to see, though, that even just the Celtics competing to a level like that where, you know, both games could have gone the wrong way, but their resiliency, they just gutted it out.
Can we talk about the game one finish? Because that was...
We talked about it a little bit, but yeah, do it.
What? We already talked about it?
We
didn't talk about that fucking, him, like, oh.
Me
like,
and him were in Nashville, and we were on, like, watching it on a phone, like, in, like, the suite of, like, the Predators Stadium. And this lady was, like, picking up our plates and stuff. And that was directly during Tatum's like layup to win. And like I think Curran was with us too. And we just went nuts.
I got up and just did like one.
That
of these
lady
guys.
Jumped so fucking far. Like she was so afraid.
Petrified.
Yeah,
as I commented on one of the Instagram photos when I saw like the whole crew of you, I was like, scary crew. This is scary. It was you in front of the Predators fucking arena.
Oh yeah, that was a good pick.
All of your Smashville fucking shirts on.
Shout out to Paul Curtin.
Legit an army of people you don't want to run into.
No, you do not. You did not want to be with us that weekend.
To end that game one, like the defense on that.
Oh yeah,
on that other end before the layup happened, that was some of like the best defense I've ever seen.
Yeah, no timeout. Run the play.
Well.
Well, beautiful.
It was flipped to Kyrie and fucking Durant, and like they were like up in their grills, double teams, defensive player of the year in the mix on it.
The best take of the whole play was the Marcus Smart pass last year, the year before. Any year, yeah, any time, he would have taken that shot. No
does
question.
Does he hit it? Maybe he hits that shot.
But there were two guys in his face. That would have been a tough shot.
Well, he deked them both out. He had a clean line, shot.
Why does he pass there? Who brought this culture to Boston? It's Ime Udoka. He's been unbelievable for this team. He's got, you know what? I love Brad Stevens, but he does not have any balls. Ime Udoka came in here and set the tone from day one.
Brad Stevens let Anton run all over his wife when we were sitting near her. And that's all you need to know about Brad, to be honest.
But Ime Udoka should be coach of the year. He got these guys to play together. It's not this isolation ball that the Brooklyn Nets are really good at. We just can't play that game. We have to, you know, it's a pass first team. Whoever gets the points gets the points. To my point, like in game two, they had seven out of the eight guys who played were in double digits. That's just selfless basketball.
I feel like the Celtics are always like a full team when they're winning. Even when it was the big three, like. They have to win as a team. It's never like just like you said, the Nets where to focus on those two.
When everything was crumbling like 2 years ago, it was Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart that were fighting. Like right when he hit that left and was looking at his hand, like it was Jaylen Brown who came over and was just like also looking at
beautiful.
His hand. Yeah, he was like, dude, look at this fucking thing.
Even just as a fan watching the sport, it's way more enjoyable to watch a team like that than just watch Kevin Durant dribble between his legs seven times and take a three in his face.
Agree. James Harden on the Rockets was my least favorite basketball
team. That was the worst. That was awful.
Do we have any takes on the rest of the NBA playoffs as is right now? The Sixers do look good. They actually do look worrisome, like if we were to face them at some point.
They're beating an AAU team in fucking Toronto. I don't care about
Minnesota in seven, Pelicans in seven.
I love the Minnesota take. Anthony Edwards,
Minnesota, I think you're nuts on Pelicans. We were just talking about it softball maybe since Booker's gone.
Minnesota should trade Carl Anthony Towns and just like absolutely make Anthony Edwards just the face of everything.
Yeah,
that guy is awesome.
Minnesota's up by seven, you know, going to halftime basically.
That's right.
So good stuff. I think Golden State should be the team to make the NBA finals.
The Warriors are very much back.
They're back. The guy Jordan Poole. Scary. Jordan Poole's a splash brother now they have three.
There was some slander of Kevin Durant for that because it was basically like when Steph Curry was getting double teamed, like Kevin Durant looked like Jordan Poole too, and it was like,
when you're getting a bunch of open looks and you take threes all day every day, how tough is it to be a splash brother?
Yeah, exactly.
We could probably do it.
You know, Philly.
Definitely not.
Philly, I hate Philly, but they've been a nice team. The surprise kind of 3-0. Joel Embiid took the buzzer beater last
night. That was a hell of a good series.
I will give Joel Embiid. That was a hell of a
shot.
When
they say the doctor took down the nurse last night, that's kind of funny.
Miami Sixers, who would you have in that series?
That would be.
I feel like that's going to be better than whatever ends
that would
up
be
happening.
A heater. Whoever comes out of the Celtics Nets against probably Milwaukee. That's going to be electric, and if it's the Heat and the Sixers on, that's unbelievable basketball.
Watching like Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid go at it's going to be awesome too. Like that'll be sick.
Yeah,
it's like those guys just hate each other.
Yeah, they'll be talking smack. If I were just to give like a long shot pick of Miami and Philly, I'm probably giving Miami a little bit of upper hand just because of their depth. And they have a lot of elements that can be. They have veteran leadership in Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry. They have absolute assassins from the three-point line, including Duncan Robinson and Tyler Herro. And then you have Bama Adebayo down in the trenches to really go one-on-one there with, I think, the MVP. Not going to be the MVP, apparently, but Joel Embiid is my MVP for the year.
No, and you still got to – I mean, Embiid, just like the way he always plays and the way he has been his entire career, I mean, he's just got to, like – not twist an ankle. You know what I mean? Like, that could happen to that guy. I don't want it to. That's not what I'm saying. But, I mean, that guy is just injury-plagued his whole career.
Injuries are a factor.
And how about Marcus Smart being named the Defensive Player of the Year?
About fucking
unbelievable.
Time. About fucking time.
Unreal.
That
what he walked in with. That I rope. Think it was fresh from Puma made that for him.
Yeah, how jealous of you were of that thing.
Sweat. I mean,
champ's here.
He made me look. Yeah, I need one of those made like immediately for me. Like when I come back to the ring this year.
No, that thing was electric. You got
to. I got to get a magic fucking sweet. What is that? What cape?
Do you deserve it though?
No, but fuck it.
Yes. believe.
I do.
No, that was, I thought it was a really cool video. You know, the glove, Gary Payton.
Yeah, that
the
was Celtics awesome.
Practice. So he was the first point guard since Gary Payton to win the award. I think it's long. That award's like kind of crazy to me too, because like some people could just win it every year, but they just give it to like another. Like Marcus Smart could have won it probably the last 2 years. Rudy Gobert could probably win it every year. You know, there's a bunch of guys.
Oh, yeah.
So they kind of just like pinpoint.
Giannis, but, fucking like, yeah, there's a bunch.
But the Celtics have been the best story in the Eastern Conference. I don't think it's really even close.
Well, so I think the reason they gave it to him this year was like the like he's individually deserved it before.
Yeah.
But this year, like, he led the number one defense in the league. So yeah, it was like this true. Year
statistically,
is like,
yep.
Yeah, like, they it already was like
this give an MVP when you just said Embiid.
Not yet.
Why did you say Embiid's not getting it? Apparently,
because the lead leaguer is supposed to be Jokic. Jokic's supposed to go back to back. I would give it Embiid though. Embiid's had a crazy year, and I think Jokic's just so overrated. Yeah, sick. Dude. You get your team in the playoffs every year, you lose in the first round.
Like, I think he's been ejected his last like three playoff games. Like that's a loser. Oh,
I would mess with him out in the streets. I think he'd like tune someone up.
No, and he has like two brothers that are willing to beat fucking like who is it? They were gonna beat up the Morris brother.
Yeah.
They like made a Twitter account and were like, "This is really us. We'll find you." It was like
we will
like,
kill you.
Yeah, it was like okay.
Our brother can't because he makes all the money, but
yeah, we're just wherever the hell they're from, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, it's good to see Marcus Smart win that. I think what really helped him too is Robert Williams was I think bottom candidate as well.
He really set
the tone.
That's very much in his future. Robert Williams, especially as a big man, like he'll get one of those.
Yeah,
he'll get one of those. 100%.
I wonder when he's going to come back in this series. I'm hoping it's like game five or something. As you know, that loser. How the Nets are the most hateable team in the like probably in the history of the game with Ben Simmons
definitely
coming back.
Not, no,
Kyrie Irving.
LeBron's been on way more hateable. The LeBron team is.
I disagree. I think a lot of people
hate the Miami team when LeBron went there was. As hateable as hateable guys.
I don't know. A lot of people like Dwayne Wade, though. I
like Dwayne Wade.
Yeah,
I do, too.
Dude, everyone hates Ben Simmons. Everyone hates Kyrie Irving. And a lot of people hate Kevin Durant. Those are three very hateable people.
My favorite thing about that is if they do that, and I mean, they absolutely are. I mean, the fact they were the most hateable team when they had James Harden, and then they traded him for a more hateable player, which is wicked funny.
Yeah.
But, like, please, like, I hope Ben Simmons, I think they said, like, 3 or 4. Give me game 5. He hasn't played in like a year. He's a mental midget. Yeah. Feed him to the wolves.
That's why he's not hateable to me.
Put him in the garden. Put him in the Boston Garden for game 5 have them attack.
What an awful trade that ended up being. Imagine if James Harden was on Brooklyn right now against the Celtics.
Like I'd be a lot more scared.
Yeah, it would at least be 1-1. I mean, a 1-point victory if you add James Harden. Harden's, like, we don't win that.
Harden is way more scary than Ben.
No, that's when I...
Because he plays and can shoot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and that's not even like, that's just
if I see Ben Simmons in like a game winning opportunity, I'm like, all right, we won.
Yeah.
He's not hitting it.
You're bringing back your savior, Ben Simmons.
No, that's what they said. It was a win-win trade. Like they both teams won. I disagreed with that totally. I think Philly won the trade.
Numbers speak right now for themselves. Philly's up 3-0 and they're down 0-2.
Quickly I would have traded that sock bag for James Harden. I would have been like, dude, like, I don't want any, like, just sign the paperwork.
They've been
dude,
looking,
hurry.
They were looking for such like a deal for like the last year to get rid of him. And all of a sudden they start hitting this like breeze about how James Harden's unhappy playing with Kevin Durant. It's like, all right, send him right over. You can have this asshole.
No brainer.
Needless to say, though, been a great playoffs.
It's good. It's only been 2 games.
I know, but it's good. All the game.
Yeah.
I mean, not all the series are good, but next round is going to be electric on all sides.
So what was your original pick?
I have the Celtics going to the finals.
No.
In allegiance with Jimmy for that milk bet.
In the series. Nets.
In this series. So what was your pick? I don't know what I had.
I believe it was 6 for me.
I might have Celtics in six.
I definitely had the Celtics.
I flip-flopped, I remember.
Are you staying Celtics in 6?
Yes.
I'll go with that at this point. Confirmed.
Okay. I'm going... Can I change my pick?
No.
All right, so I have to ride I have to ride Brooklyn in 6.
No, you can change it.
Disgusting.
I'm actually going Celtics in 5.
No, that's
he's gonna go Nets in seven. That's why he wants to change it.
No,
I'm gonna allow him, so he looks like an absolute.
I'm not changing.
I don't want him to change the mojo. Dude, you can't let him do that.
All right, I'll let it ride. All right, Brooklyn.
We
in
have
six.
No effect.
Brooklyn in six. Yeah, we do. Shut up.
We have no effect on them.
I disagree with that totally.
You're a nutcase.
Moving on, the Boston Bruins. Have had an up and down. Go at it the last 10-15 games. They're currently sitting in the number one wild card seed with 99 points, still six games to play.
Big games too. I looked at the schedule.
Big game. They're a point behind Tampa.
We're not looking good right now.
They're probably not gonna catch Toronto, but they could get they could steal the three seed from Tampa. But even though you're gonna play a good team.
Don't want it.
Although
no, the rest of their schedule, they got Florida, Tampa, and Toronto at least, right?
Oh boy, that's
right
tough.
Now, currently,
and it was two other randoms.
I want us to get healthy and stay exactly where we are. Right now, we would play either Carolina and the Rangers are tied.
Okay.
I would rather
Carolina isn't. Aren't they the number one in their division?
Correct. We'd be the number one wild card team, so we play the number one
number
on the
one
other side.
Yeah.
So right now I would rather play the Rangers. I'd like to play the Rangers.
But I would rather play either of those two. The Leafs are red hot, and you have to avoid Florida at all costs.
You don't want the Leafs?
Is that even possible to play?
The Leafs are red hot. We've beat them three times in Game 7.
Austin Matthews literally has a billion goals this year.
I don't want the smoke. I don't want them.
Dude, the guy who is begging for the fucking Brooklyn Nets doesn't want the
Leafs. They haven't won.
Eventually that team wins.
I got you.
We beat them three times in Game 7. The first round. Three straight times.
Why not four?
They haven't won a playoff series since 2004. They are fucking due.
Like, I don't want them.
Due or cursed?
Let someone else find out and then beat them the second round, all right?
Yeah.
I don't want them the first round.
And by the way, if they play Tampa in a first round series, they're probably going to lose.
Okay.
So let them do it.
But what they got to do is stay. I think we're only three above, maybe even two above the Capitals for the wild card. So, like, we got to stay above them. Because Florida will, unless we don't play Florida.
We have to play them?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
And that, like, who?
Florida.
I'm the most optimistic fan on the planet. No, Florida, at this point, they've won, like, 12 games in a row, I think. They have a guy who has as many points as McDavid. I want nothing.
Yeah, if Washington overtakes us in the standings, we're going
to Can we be fair and say, it is the NHL playoffs are always a wild
Let me put it this way. The game James Naz is at tonight, the Florida Panthers against the Detroit Red Wings. The Florida Panthers are favored. They're a minus 650. So you have to bet $650 to win $100 on fucking a hockey
for
game.
For a hockey game.
That's the highest I've ever heard in my life.
But what I was going to say is
that's fucking insane.
Do the Bruins even have a shot at a cup?
I don't think so. I personally got different kind of
wrecking crew team out there.
We got to end up playing the Rangers. That should be first round.
You need the Panthers to shit it.
Then we need the Lightning second pants. Round. We've owned the Lightning. We're 3-1 versus the Lightning this year. And then we get to the Eastern Conference Finals. All bets are off at that point. Let's ride.
But in any sport, but especially hockey, if you start looking at we have to play that team and this team to get through that team, it's never works.
No.
I think their defense has played so bad over these last 10-20 games.
It's all about health. If we don't get Lindor and Pasta and them back, we don't stand a prayer.
Yeah,
it's just reality.
And you know what? I don't have any confidence in these goalies. I think Jeremy Swayman needs a couple more years.
That's our guy.
Linus Ullmark has been out playing him. He got a concussion the other night on a slap shot to the head. Otherwise, he'd be playing right now. Swayman played really good against Pittsburgh last Saturday.
Against the Blues too.
So he's really been coming and making his own. But I just really hope he sticks with it because he kind of went went to some bad ways, and then Ullmark got his time. And who was that against the Lightning? You got to win over the Lightning, which really showed. So it seemed like he was the guy. They're bouncing back and forth. One of these guys just needs to run away with it. And if it's not happening now, then I don't have a lot of faith in this team, especially, this first line has to do everything. And I like what Eric Hall is doing. He's scoring a lot of goals.
Don't get me wrong. Jake DeBrusk has been great since the turnaround.
Yeah.
Reality.
Is Pasta back yet?
No.
Yeah, I was gonna say Pasta's been like a major.
But Pasta's the number one guy, like healthy. Where are the playoffs? Healthy. Like, who gives a fuck if he plays the next five games healthy?
I think like a month ago when Swayman was on a tear, I was just like, Swayman's the most important player in the Bruins. I was 100% wrong. It's David Pastrnak by miles.
It's
by
miles. You said Swayman was the most important player in Boston.
Yeah, actually. I mean, I was close.
At this point, I think you could say it's Marcus Smart, maybe. I don't fucking even know. No. I don't even know who the most important
player is. I'd say most important player right now on any team. It's Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
It's Jason Tatum. They go nowhere without him.
The Bruins are going to like have to string together the luckiest run maybe ever.
And that's what happened. That's what happened there in the...
No offense, Steele, because you know I want to shave that beard in the pub parking lot.
I watched it in 2011, brother. I'm ready.
I know, but well, you feel the same confidence? Like, that was different.
No, I don't at all.
So that, don't exactly. Relax. That's what I mean. Well, that's what I'm saying.
But...
You're literally living on a prayer here.
Correct.
2019, 2018, whenever they played the Palouse in the Cup, they had a very easy road to the finals.
This won't be that way.
It won't be this way.
Yeah, they ran into a giant piece of shit named Jordan Binnington, who I chirped a lot in Nashville.
But let's not say Swayman can't get hot and get hot in the playoffs.
That's all that matters.
At the right time, like things just have to happen.
The defense has to step up for him though, because they have not played. The only guy who I feel confident out there right now is Charlie McAvoy.
They're down to like a four string defense.
Matt Grizzly's
like
been
line,
horrible dude. All season. He's so bad. Mike Riley's just this average.
Call him out.
Call him out now. Mike Riley is the J.D. Drew version of like a hockey player.
Right, so we clinch the playoffs. I'll see you there.
What a shot.
I'll see you there.
Can I ask how the Nashville arena is?
Oh, electric place.
Better than the Garden?
They lost 8-3. So like it was pretty quiet.
I don't give a shit about that.
But I'm saying it was quieter than like if that place
facility
was locking.
It's a nice facility.
Concessions. How was it?
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we were in a suite with like a buffet and shit.
Buffet dinner? Incredible. Oh, it was on.
How were the bathrooms?
bathrooms were delicious.
Clean as can be.
You guys got to get to the Vegas arena.
That's next.
They'll put on a show even if they're getting killed because like. Everyone's hammered there.
Since we're in the Hedge Better Studios here, I put a bet on the Blues when we were at the game. So every time they scored, I was going nuts. Everyone was booing. So I love being in a hostile environment. I love road games.
Well, I think he was team like Blues the whole way, obviously. But we all like quickly turned. we didn't care. So it hit like 5-1 or something, and we were just like, give us 10, let's go.
gotta win for your guy.
So good transition here. We had a flight there, flight on the way back. If you're walking on a flight and you sit in front of Mike Tyson on a flight, are you looking back and trying to stir the drama and getting hit, or are you just like,
I don't, what was Mike? Even going on in that video?
What was
that asshole behind him like saying?
He was sitting behind him and he was just talking shit. He was just saying like, I forget exactly what it was. But it was just stuff like, he was just like giving him hell, just like being a dickhead.
That's no way to act in first class.
No.
I think...
Was he asking
for weed or shrooms?
It was shrooms.
I think he was asking for shrooms.
Really? And he was doing that to
I bet he was a full scent kind of fan because Tyson was on that podcast talking about shrooms and licking toads.
There's celebrities I would bother.
Oh, yeah. He ain't the one.
Like, he bothered Mike Tyson. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
Tyson came out and said he's, like, stoned at all times, which, like, I'm a fan of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know how
Tyson's
much?
Electric.
So if Mike Tyson stoned at all times, you know how much you got to piss off stoned Mike Tyson to beat the piss out of you on an airplane?
Oh, you know he doesn't want
to
do that.
If you live or don't have to go to the hospital, though, like, are you doing that too? Just to say like you got beat up by Mike Tyson?
Oh, he came out great.
So basically you're asking, is it worth the viral moment?
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be. I think
that's in your wheelhouse.
Because I don't... for like a quick way to get to the top, like I'm the asshole who got hit by Tyson and like that's just my career moment.
That's close though, because like...
Well, I mean, like, I don't, that did Tyson kid, even that, kill hurt him bad?
That kid got lucky. He didn't get marks, hurt that bad. Like, he didn't get hurt that bad, but, like, there's no promising, like, you don't.
Fact.
Like, you know, like, if you're the
but
next
you
guy to
fight,
do that,
you
like, you
fight,
might get killed.
If you want to take a punch from Tyson, it's probably he has to turn around with looked like an obstruction in first class. He's not getting clean shots, but, I mean, he's still going to fuck you up regardless.
What do you think that went through that kid's head when he turned around? I think like I, when he like stood up, turned around, that kid was just stuck in an airplane seat, maybe seatbelt on.
He was probably like, Mike I went Tyson too far.
Being like,
I went too, I regret
like,
this.
Just like hammer fisted dead. Like, I would have been horrified, dude.
Wonder if he got arrested.
Do you think that's good press or bad press for Mike Tyson?
It doesn't matter for
Mike
him.
Tyson's so
Mike Tyson's licking toads. He talks about Tyson's a maniac.
I personally think it's great press. It just means he's back.
That guy's guy's so beyond bad press. Yeah. Like, that guy could do whatever he wants.
He's slinging NFTs. Like, Tyson can do no wrong. That guy he bit a guy's ear off. Yeah, this is like nothing.
That guy bit a guy's ear off on pay-per-view, dude. That guy can do what he wants.
he's way past doing things that will piss people off. Like, people are like, oh, that sounds like something Tyson would do.
Yeah, exactly.
His post-fight interview when he was just like, he went on that tangent, but he like said, "I will eat your children." Like that was, that was. Oh my
god! If you want to ask if he could get canceled, then that's what it should have been. He's at the point. He could have thrown that guy out the fucking emergency exit. And
he's the second.
That might have been too far.
Second top headline on ESPN. The top headline, actually, we'll throw a little bonus round. So Miguel Cabrera was up with the man on second and third in the eighth inning today, going for his 3,000th hit. He's on 299, and they intentionally walked him. Good take or bad take?
Terrible.
Terrible.
He's going to get
Boone
it.
Should be hit by a bus.
Oh, it's against the Yankees, too.
If you think I'm going to sit here and support Aaron Boone, then you're out of your mind. I wish this got him fired. I hate that guy.
What do you think the thought process is on that?
That
don't let this guy get his 3,000th hit on that team.
Yeah, I think they're
which is a bad take. Like, I'm not.
That's such a Yankees thing to do.
In actuality,
the worst, dude.
I think it was because
it's the pinstripes.
To load the bases to like make all the bases drunk so you can get out everywhere.
Oh, so I think that's what it was, a managerial.
It was one nothing in the bottom of the eighth. That some guy ended up getting a hit and scoring two runs. So I'm glad. Fuck the Yankees, but
Hall of Fame.
That's bad karma.
Hall of Fame and Miguel Cabrera was just like, I don't care. My OPS went up.
Stud. Love that. Yeah. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's gonna get it.
So what does it matter?
Legend. Love that guy.
I have another thing. I was watching the Red Sox today. They lost 3-2 to the Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman threw a hell of a game, 8+ innings. But my final takeaway was, so story starts out with a base hit. They take out Gausman. Then I think Devers walked. Then Bogarts hit a double, setting up second and third, 3-1. They have no outs. So then someone got out, Dahlbeck hit a ground ball at third base, thrown out. So Devers stuck on third with two outs, 3-2 game. Then Jackie Bradley came up. I just turned the TV off. I was like, game's over. You don't pinch hit for him? I don't care. You could have had the bat boy. You could have had the guy selling popcorn in the stands. You could have had Mike Steele.
Yeah, pick me.
It is tough, even in softball, when you're like, you need like that big hit and like, I walk up. I'll shit on myself right here, right now. Big moment.
Way to make it all about you.
No. Oh, yeah, sure. Big moment. I might crumble. You don't want me up. You want to pinch hit for me in that big moment.
I've seen you hit a walk-off, and I've seen that fucking softball of the Irish pub for like 2 years.
Someone stole it. But Jackie Bradley Jr., I turned it off, and then I turned it on. He grounded it the first, and I'm like, "Well, that's better than what I thought he was going to do." Which means, it's not a hit, but he grounded it out.
Jackie Bradley Jr., Joey Gallo, better average end of the year.
Joey Gallo. I have no. I get Joey Gallo is like a 197, like 30 homers guy, but like,
what do we got right now?
I don't even think Bradley makes the All Star game. I think they cut him.
I'll look at Gallo. What do we got? What do we got for Jackie Bradley? Average?
He's been 229 right now. He K'd up twice today. Went 0-4.
You got 229.
Yeah,
I can already tell you that's like infinitely better than Joey Gallo.
It's early on.
That's like no, but that's like that's miles better than Joey Gallo.
How do you boys feel about your two teams?
6-7 the first 13 games. Not awful. Definitely not awful.
All right, so you're sticking with it.
I think they need to produce more offense. I think the pitching actually has been a pretty bright spot. I think Tanner Houck has really played well. He pitched again today.
Gallo's at 135.
135. it'll be close combat. Nathan Eovaldi's been great. Garrett Whitlock's been great out of the bullpen for them. I don't really have too much beef with their defense and pitching. Trevor Story has picked it up since, you know, starting off soft. Devers has kind of hidden a little bit of a brink. I'm not going to go through this whole starting
nine. Take it easy, dude.
It really is too long of a season.
We get it in Friday.
I just want to actively monitor how you guys feel about your teams and throughout this long process.
I said before the season, Aaron Boone's in my dugout. They don't stand a prayer.
Okay.
Alex Cora got COVID today.
Okay.
He's out.
How's Tampa looking?
We got him this weekend.
I think every team record? In the AL East is like 6-7. Entire thing is like.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a long, long season.
Jays are 8-5.
I will say right now, I hate their off, like when they're not playing their like starting nine. I hate the Red Sox starting nine. Like I have it in front of me. I get it. But your last four batters were Bradley Jr., Christian Vasquez, Travis Shaw, and Christian Arroyo. Like, fuck that.
You guys have Travis Shaw again?
Yeah, ding dong. Whack.
You need someone in there. You need someone in there you can rely on for a hit.
That's another guy that's going to get cut. I think him and Bradley get cut, and then they're going to Frenchie Cordero that in AAA, and then if Tristan Casas is going to get called up in July.
Okay.
Sound like losers. Good team to love see. It.
I haven't looked. I haven't watched. I'll be watching some Rays Red Sox this weekend, but haven't seen the Rays play at all. To be honest with you,
we'll get into it then. We'll get into it this weekend. Maybe we'll catch a game with Anton. What's he even doing?
I'm not going to another sporting event with Anton.
Is it a home game series?
No, they're in Tampa.
Yeah,
we're taking a flight.
I would honestly. St. Pete's calling. How's Anton doing? Anyone know what he's doing?
I thought you should ask yourself that
question.
I thought
he would have made the fucking time tonight.
I'm just plotting to get back to Nashville, dude.
Yep.
Can we dive in a little bit?
No,
just a little. NFL. Did you guys ever leave Broadway Street?
Oh, yeah, we moved around. We went to Midtown for like a quick minute.
Midtown?
Yep.
It's like the tourist attraction part of it. Like, it's all bars, too.
Okay.
But like less like $5 beers.
I feel like I felt like if you go to Nashville, like you don't leave that. It's like the strip.
Believe me, we were there a lot. Don't get it twisted. Don't.
How was the Hattie B's?
Oh, Hattie B's was great.
Fantastic. Great.
How was Honky Tonk? What's the best Honky Tonk?
So
Central.
So actually, when we were at,
I like that one.
When we were in Nashville, so it made Boston 25 news. Someone fell through the bathroom floor into another bathroom. I'm just glad it wasn't us.
I wish it was one of you so bad. I wish it was Nagel.
Oh man,
I feel like he would have handled that with class.
The best it could have been would be Paul Lippaluzzi.
Yeah,
because seeing Paul get pissed after falling through the floor of a fucking bar would have been fucking amazing.
Did the Bachelor have a good Bachelor?
Big shout out to him. That was a great time,
Paul. I'll be crashing your wedding, you fuck. I love you though.
Before we close up, there's NFL draft next week. I know we'll be recording next week. EJ Perry.
Keep
an ear out. Be interviewed with the Patriots. Could he be the next Edelman? I don't know.
Edelman?
Yeah, Edelman.
Believe.
Runs a 4.5.
Oh,
quarterback.
You don't mean like he's going to be like a wide receiver?
Yeah, he could be.
Okay.
Runs a 4.5.
All right.
Could make it happen.
EJ Perry.
Yeah. What do we think about Deebo Samuel getting traded to the Pats?
I'm in. Doesn't look good, but I'm
no,
in.
No. I'm in, but it's not good.
Who is the rumor between him or the Jets?
There's like six teams or something.
It's like 30 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be great to see, but we'll wrap up there. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in. Unless you guys have anything else to say, no?
Don't fight Mike Tyson on planes.
Ozark next week.
Oh, Ozark next week. The actual finale. I've been rewatching like the beginning season just to like, okay, one month. I think it's Monday. Next Monday it premieres.
Sounds about right.
Last episodes.
Yeah.
I'm on like
it's next Friday.
I'm in the middle of season three, just like working my way back, just so I'm like refreshed of everything. Like I went back and watched season one and season two, and those kicked ass. Just a phenomenal show.
They're gonna have to like I just hope they burn everyone burns.
I hope everyone dies. I literally hope everyone dies.
That would be ideal, yeah.
Maybe minus Ruth.
Yeah,
Ruth's been through hell.
If Ruth is like on top of the end, that'd be sick.
Kind of would be.
Well, did you see the trailer? I won't ruin it then.
As long as Wendy Bird dies, that's like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Marty?
Wendy.
No, Wendy.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting her to die for so long.
I need Wendy
to die brutally.
I feel like the whole family lives. I don't know. I feel like the whole family lives. I feel like they all should die, but I feel like they all live.
Thank God you're not writing the show. So. I don't know. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Big shout out to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance. Give them a plug there. They had two marathon runners. Want to congratulate
the boys.
James Naz. I actually saw Walter Hand, Joey Lawler running. Fucking tanks out there. Mike Nelson, Amy Dow, keep it going. Good shout for you guys.
Shout out Brian awesome Donahue. He ran sneaky. People didn't even know, but I'll shout out.
All supporting
just,
great.
Just
supporting great causes.
Sean Harrington.
You know, I keep yelling.
Maybe one day us. Why not us?
I just don't know. I like to wrap things up. I can't do anything for like 5 hours. Like I don't have the attention span for that.
I can guarantee I'm a no.
Yeah.
I'll say. I don't think so. We haven't interviewed James. People probably know how we do the interview process around here, so it is what it is. But James will answer the way he's going to answer it and say it's the best time of his life. Brian Donahue literally texted me. He was like, worst experience ever. Won't ever do it again. So, I mean, he was like, my feet are killing me. And I know anyone at this table who wants to like maybe do it one time. Nah. That will be our response.
Which there isn't one
here. But James is a beast. James is a beast. It's going to be a good interview. He's always electric.
It'll be great.
Yeah, not trying to be the best at exercise. I play real sports, right?
Yeah, we're fucking softball guys.
I applaud everyone for that run, man. That's such a tough achievement that I'm saying as I would never do it.
Like, ever. I applaud all you guys for doing it. Applaud every participant.
Yeah. That's all from Steel and Naz. Be safe out there. Episode 76 in the books.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.